Harvest Messages are brought to you by Harvest Partners. To receive free email daily devotions or to become a Harvest Partner, please visit us online at harvest.org.
Lord, we come before you now and we thank you for your word. Lord, as we open it and recognize the power that is in the gospel, Lord, I pray that that power would transform our lives because we know that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So Lord, would you speak to us tonight? Would you reveal yourself to us? And would you transform our lives into your image, into being like Christ? We ask all of this in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I remember a number of years ago, the very first time I ever went shooting, right? The first time I ever shot a gun. Right, and it was a buddy of mine who took my brother-in-law and I out to the desert, and it was sketchy. He brought a bunch of his guns, and we just went out and shot a bunch of stuff. But the one thing that he forgot to bring was earplugs. Now, how many of you guys have ever shot a gun without earplugs before? All right, so I'm in good company, right? So we all have a little bit of bad hearing, right? For me, it was in one ear because he only brought one set of earplugs, and my brother-in-law and I shared them. I took one for my right ear, he took one for his right ear, right? And so we're out there, and I remember a couple of times shooting, you know, we were shooting 45s, we were shooting 9mm, we were shooting shotguns, all kinds of stuff. And like at one point, there was like physical pain, right, from shooting the gun in my not shooting the gun in my ear, but you know, the sound of the gun. And so, you know, we got to the end of the day and we end up stopping at Jack in the Box to order some food. And it was the funniest scene I had ever seen because I was the first in line, right? I was the first one to go up and order. And when I got up to the cashier to place my order, it's like, "Yes, I'd like a number one, please." Like, literally, that's how loud I was talking. And then my brother-in-law and our buddy, they were behind me, and they were just laughing at me the whole time. Like, "Dude, you're yelling at her." And the lady, she's, you know, super sweet and, like, just putting up with us. But then they get up to the front, and they do the exact same thing. They're yelling at her as well because we can't hear nothing, right? And then this one guy, he started talking to us. I have no idea what he was saying. We were just, you know, smiling and nodding, right? But here's the thing, right? We like to go out and do stuff like that, right? Because guns, well, they have power, right? There is something about shooting a weapon that is, well, it feels good, right? There is something that is manly about it. It's just, you know, a good feeling. But in addition to that, we are attracted to power of all sorts, aren't we? I mean, not just weapons, right? The bigger the gun, the better, right? Some, like, you can watch on YouTube, just video after video of guys shooting, like, huge caliber guns. And, like, you know, they shoot it and it just, like, flies out of their hand. It's really funny. But even still, like, there is something about that we like to do. But it's not just weapons. It's all kinds of things, right? It's cars, right? Some of you are all about the horsepower. Right, I'm not so much in my Prius. I got 99 horses under that hood, right? So, not too strong. But for some of us, that's you know what we're attracted to—the power of the car or the power tool, right? You go out to Home Depot or Lowe's if your wife sends you to Lowe's, and you know you buy the power tool, and then you know the next season later, there's you know you bought the 18 volt, but now there's the 20 volt, and now there's the 22 volt, you know, and it just you always want more power. And for some of you, if you're on the nerdy side like I am, you know, it's the power of the processor, right? It's the latest and greatest gadgets. It's whatever can, you know, process the most ones and zeros the fastest. It's attractive. It's we want it. We want to take it. We want to own it. And we want to have that power. For some, it's the power of the position, right? It's the, you want to be the CEO, you want to be the CFO, or you are that, and or you want to be the supervisor, you want to be able to have authority over people, right? And these are all things that are just kind of innate within us, within, I think, just as being men. Like, we just like power, right? We just love to, you know, either power to make things or power to destroy things, right? We just, come on, let's be honest. We just like seeing things explode. Can we be honest right now? All right. But in reality, all of these forms of power, every single one of them pales in comparison to the power of the gospel. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Every form of power, no matter how we go about it, no matter what we try to do to achieve it, it all is nothing in comparison to the power of the gospel of God. We know from Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it tells us that the Apostle Paul writing says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Right, in the gospel, in this message, in the act that Christ did on the cross and through the resurrection, that power is available to all, and it is not just a power, it is the power, it is the power of God unto salvation. And that is what we have access to. All right, and the Apostle Paul is all about this, and we even remember from, if you were in men's study last year, Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 8. Right, when Jesus sends out his disciples, he tells them before he ascends back into heaven, he says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The telling of the gospel is endowed with the power of the Holy Spirit. Like, think about that for a second. The telling of the gospel, the proclamation of the gospel, sharing the gospel is endowed with the power of God himself. Now, I don't know how many of you guys in here received the gospel by any other means other than hearing of the gospel. It's hearing of the word or reading of the word, right? For the most part, that's how it happens, right? Either somebody tells it to you, shares it with you, or you hear it from a platform like this one, or you read it in God's word, right? It's in the telling of the gospel, and that's where the power is ultimately at, right? Because, I mean, I don't know if any of us like got saved because we saw somebody abstaining from something, right? I doubt that any of us got saved because we saw a coworker that's a Christian not have a beer, right? We received the gospel through somebody telling us, through somebody sharing with us, through somebody pointing us to God's word. And wherever the gospel goes out, powerful things happen. Right, that was the whole book of Acts last year. Powerful things happened in the telling of the gospel. Any place that the Apostle Paul brought the gospel, lives were changed, communities were changed. In fact, whole cities were changed as a result of the movement of the power of the Holy Spirit through the gospel in those places. Right, and it's just full of these stories, the book of Acts is, and Paul and his companions traveled all over, and in one place in particular, Philippi, right? He walks into this place, and right away this woman named Lydia gives her life to the Lord, and then a little bit while later, he shares the gospel and casts a demon out of this little slave girl, which then he gets put in jail because an uproar starts, and the whole city is basically after Paul because the entire economic landscape started to change as a result of the power of the gospel. I bring up all of these just to simply illustrate the power that is endowed in the gospel message itself. Because Paul's whole mission is that people would know and hear the true gospel. Paul's whole life was about sharing this gospel with people. People who needed Jesus and to the people that ultimately God sent him to share this message with. Paul was so passionate about this mission that he even goes so far as to say that if I could give up my salvation, if I let me be accursed so that these people will receive this message. Like, Paul's so passionate about this message, he's willing to give up his own salvation for the sake of those to whom he's bringing the gospel. You see, he understood the power that was in this message. He understood what was at stake and what was going on. But Paul was not without his opponents. You see, Paul had men and different groups that opposed him. And there were other problems that came about within the churches that Paul planted and that he was trying to nurture and bring into health and good health as these churches, right? And so in Galatians, what we see, and we're introduced to a group of churches that Paul is writing to. And let's just read what the Apostle Paul has to say. Let's start in chapter 1, starting in verse 1 in Galatians. It says this, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from our God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Verse 6. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but that there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For I am now seeking the approval of man or of God. Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. We'll stop there. The book of Galatians, as you're going to see, is essentially a book about the gospel. The Apostle Paul is laying out the fundamental elementary principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ in this book. Right, he goes to great length to make sure that the Galatians, the churches in Galatia, understand what the gospel really is and what it's all about. And in the beginning of the book, Paul identifies himself as the author and reminding his readers that he is an apostle from God. Right? He says, not from men nor through men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father. Right? He's reminding the Galatians, he's saying, this authority that was given to me was not given because somebody cast lots and my name came up. I didn't receive this power for any other reason other than the fact that God chose me for this. And what that should remind the Galatians and all of us is that the message and the gospel that Paul received, he received directly from Jesus. I remember on the road to Damascus when Jesus appeared to Paul. Right, and Jesus called him out, and this message that the Apostle Paul received was given to him directly from Jesus. So the message of the gospel that Paul is reminding the Galatians of in the book of Galatians, it's not a byproduct of what somebody else told him. It's a direct connection that Paul had with Jesus, and that he just is pointing to the authenticity of the message. Right, so he's going to point to the power of the message and the authenticity of the message because of the authority that was given to him, not by man, but through God himself. And he's writing to the Galatians, right? Most of Paul's other letters that he wrote that we're going to be going over this year in Valor are written to specific churches, right? Think of the book of Philippians, right? That was written to the church in Philippi. Right, this book, it was actually written to a group of churches in Galatia, which is modern-day Turkey, and he starts out this book by giving them kind of a primer on the gospel. He's saying, all right, I'm writing to these churches, to the churches in Galatia. Right, these are churches that Paul and his companions had traveled to and had brought the gospel message to, and he's starting out now with a primer on the gospel. He starts in verse 3 and says, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these two verses, I mean, we could spend a lot of time on these. I mean, we could do a sermon on probably every one of the prepositions that Paul is writing here, right? So, grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Who gave himself for our sins. Paul immediately is reminding them, hey, that Jesus gave himself for the sake of our sin, reminding all of us and the Galatians that we are all sinners in need of a Savior, that there was a issue, there was a problem, there was something that needed to be fixed, and Jesus gave himself to do that. And he goes on to deliver us from the present evil age and according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul's just reminding them, this is all of God's will. This is all what God had planned. This is a part of the eternal purposes of God. And in most of Paul's other letters, he goes in then into a prayer. But in this letter, Paul does not go into the prayer. He skips the prayer and he just goes for it. And there's a reason for that. The reason why Paul is skipping the prayer is because, well, he's mad. He's heated. There's problems. There are issues in the church that he is writing to them to fix and to correct, right? And there were problems in the churches, specifically a group of people that were sneaking into the churches, essentially, called the Judaizers. And what these Judaizers were doing is they were going into these churches that were in Galatia, in modern-day Turkey, and they were preaching to these Christians saying, hey, you guys, that's great. The whole Jesus thing is awesome, and that's great, but you also need to practice the Mosaic law, right? You all need to be circumcised. You all need to be, following the rituals and the rites that are a part of being a Jew. And so Paul is writing to them. He caught wind of these issues, caught wind of the problems that these churches were facing. And what the Judaizers were doing is they were attacking Paul and his credentials, as we've already seen, and we'll see later in chapter 1. But they also attacked the message of the gospel by adding Jewish traditions to it. Think about that. I mean, they were attacking the message of the gospel of God. Right, this message that is endowed with the power of the Holy Spirit, they were messing with it. They were tampering with it. They were causing issues and problems with this message and fooling people and getting them to go back to a religious system, back to the old covenant, which Jesus had fulfilled, and trying to get them out of the new covenant. And Paul, he could handle an attack, right? He could handle personal attack. I mean, this is the dude that was like beaten up, that was whipped, that was shipwrecked, that was bitten by a poisonous snake. Like this guy, he could handle attack, right? He wasn't going to be offended by people attacking his credentials and saying, oh yeah, Paul, he's not really an apostle. He's a fake apostle. He can handle that, right? He had tough skin. But the issue that Paul had with what these people were doing was, the reason they were attacking his credentials was to cast doubt on the authenticity of the message that Paul was preaching. You see, that's what the Judaizers, that's what this group was doing. That's what they were after. They were attacking the authenticity of the message of the gospel, attacking the power of God. And it was all meant to diminish the power of the gospel. When you read through Galatians, I think you're going to learn, and we all will learn really quickly if you've not read this book before, don't mess with the gospel around Paul. Paul uses some of the strongest language that he uses in any of his writings in this book, and it's all meant to essentially combat the issues and the problems that these churches were facing. Right, verse 6 of chapter 1, he starts out, I am astonished. Like he's like, I am shocked. I am dismayed. This is crazy. I cannot believe that you guys are doing this, is essentially what Paul is getting at. In chapter 3, verse 1, he comes out of the gate. He's just like, oh, you foolish Galatians. Right? Who has bewitched you, is what he says. Right? Getting you to believe and going back to these traditions. Right, so Paul is on, like, he's in attack mode. He's in like, hey, this is an issue. This is a problem. This is I'm going to come at it, and I'm going to be fierce about it because it is that important. It is that big of a deal. This needs to be fixed because this is not just a matter of my credentials. This is not just a matter of traditions and practices. This is a matter of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is a matter of whether or not the power of God is in these churches that I have been essentially given to oversee. That's Paul's heart. That's what Paul is going after, and that's what Paul wants to see happen. He wants all of these issues taken out because he wants the power of God in these churches. I think that's something that we all want as well. Amen? We want the power of God in our church. And that power comes through the message of the gospel. Paul was so frustrated because he had made the gospel so plain to them, yet they were turning from it. Right? Chapter 3, verse 1, again, he says, who has bewitched you? He says, it was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Right? In this, Paul is essentially saying that it's not that these people had seen Jesus crucified, but that he had made it so plain to them. He had explained it so thoroughly to them that it's as if they had seen Jesus crucified. He's like, that's the frustration in it. He's like, guys, we've talked about this. You know this. I've made this plain to you. But yet you're turning from it. And you're going back. You're taking steps backward and not moving forward in your faith. Right? But here's the problem. Here's the thing, is we can make this same mistake that the Galatians were making. It can happen so easily. There are three mistakes that we'll see here in this text and throughout the book of Galatians that we can make. Three mistakes in our thinking about the gospel. Three mistakes that take away from the power of the Spirit of God in the gospel. Number one, the biggest problem that we can make in the message of the gospel is that we add to the gospel. Is that we add to the gospel, right? So Paul goes off on them and he's like, hey, I am astonished that you're so quickly turning or deserting him who called you into the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel. Not that there is a different one, but that there are those who trouble you and who want to distort the gospel of Christ. One of the biggest problems that we can do when approaching the gospel is we add to it. How do we do that? Well, what the Judaizers were doing was they were saying, hey, you can still believe in Jesus, but all of you guys now need to be circumcised. All of you now need to start following the dietary practices of the Jews. You need to follow all of the Mosaic law. You need to be involved in everything that we're doing. So you can have Jesus. That's great. That's awesome. But you also need all of this stuff too. They're adding to the gospel. And so easily we can do that. I know that, or I can imagine that most of us can remember that first day when we gave our life to Christ, right? That it was that moment where God got our attention, where the Holy Spirit did an amazing, he performed a miracle. He brought us from death into life. He took those who were sinners and made us righteous. He took those of us who were walking in darkness and brought us into light. Those of us who were blind, he gave us sight. Right, this is the amazing power of the gospel. We can remember that moment and the simplicity of the gospel and how this message, it just makes sense. But then sometimes what can happen is as we walk in it and as we start to grow in it, instead of focusing on the one who saved us, we focus on the actions, we focus on the outward appearance, we focus on not the inner man and not being changed, not being sanctified and becoming more like Christ, is we just focus on putting on the outward appearance of righteousness. And this is one way that we can add to the gospel. Notice what he says in verse 6. He says, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you into the grace of Jesus Christ. He's calling them out not for leaving a doctrine. He's calling them out not for leaving a practice behind. He's calling them out for leaving Jesus out. He's saying, you guys have made the biggest blunder in all of this is that you're making it about what you do and not about the person who saved you, Jesus Christ. I mean, if we are in a space where we are reading the Bible, but we're not getting closer to Jesus, we're doing it wrong. If we're in a space where we are praying and going to church and even sharing our faith, right, the fundamentals of Christianity, if we're in a place where we are putting on the outward appearance of Christianity, of righteousness, but yet we're missing Jesus and we're not growing closer to Jesus and we are not focused on Jesus, we're doing it wrong. And we are in potentially in the same error that the Galatians were in by missing Jesus, by deserting, right? Think about that word. That's a powerful word that Paul uses, deserting. It's not just like, hey, you've forgotten about him. It's like you intentionally left him behind. Right? There was a moment where you were focused so much on what you were doing on the outside that you forgot the one who saved you. So let's not be men who add to the gospel. Let's be men who are focused on the person and the work of Jesus Christ. That every time we read God's word and we sit down to do even these Bible studies, we're not focused on writing down answers so that our leader will think that, okay, we're doing good, we finished our packet. No, we're doing it so that we can grow closer to our Savior. We're doing it so that we can grow closer to the one who called us out of darkness into light. Let us not desert him who called us into the grace of Christ. But the second problem, the second error that we can make and that Paul is going to flesh out in the book of Galatians is not adding to the gospel, but taking advantage of the gospel. Taking advantage of the gospel. Where it's like the gospel, okay, yeah, awesome, we've been saved. And then taking that message of you're once saved, always saved, that you now, you know, all of your sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future, and using that as a license to sin, to go out and do whatever I want, and to live in whatever way that I want, to be engaged in whatever I want, whatever activities that I want to do, and then expecting the grace of God to cover all of that. Right, Paul's going to write about that in Galatians, but suffice that to say, that's not the truth. That's not the gospel. Right, the gospel is about a changed life. The gospel is not just about forgiveness, but it's about forgiveness and transformation. See, that's what Jesus is after in our lives. Us being transformed, right? The Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Right, all of these things are what the Apostle Paul is after, but this can happen so subtly in our lives. Because I doubt any of us in here are of that mind where it's like, okay, I'm just gonna, you know, I'm gonna sin more that grace may abound. Right? I doubt there's any of us that would, hey, in group time, hey, are you sinning more so that grace may abound? No, none of us would go, oh yeah, that's me. Right? But how many of us, this is the only time we're really a Christian? How many of us, Sundays is the only time that we're really a Christian? The Sundays is the only day that I'm really focused on Jesus and he doesn't invade my work. Jesus doesn't invade my home. Jesus doesn't invade my friendships. Jesus doesn't invade my personal life, my private life. See, if we've compartmentalized our lives to the point where Jesus is not a part of all of it, we're taking advantage of the gospel of God. So let that hit us. Let that sink. Let that take root in our lives, that this is an all-inclusive, this is about your every aspect of your life, that the gospel invades your work, it invades your home, your relationship with your wife, your relationship with your children, your relationship with any friends and acquaintances. Like, it invades everything. This is the message of the gospel. This is why we don't. This is how we don't take advantage of it, by letting Jesus be a part of all of it. And I think the third thing that Paul makes clear, it's a little more subtle than the others, but it's just a misunderstanding of the gospel. We can just simply misunderstand it, that the gospel is about good morals, right? That there are, you know, we all have this, you know, idea of how life is supposed to go and what Christianity does, and what the gospel does is it kind of makes sense of how we're supposed to live and the morals by which we're supposed to live and the way in which people are supposed to live. And it's just about good morals, or we understand it as, well, okay, the world, it hurts, right? Outside of this place, there is pain, there is suffering, things don't go right. And so Christianity and the gospel can be an answer to the hurts of the world. And it can just simply be a source of comfort. For some, it can be a political tool. We know who I'm talking about. Right? It's just, I just wave my Christianity card around. Oh yeah, I go to church every once in a while, right? That it's all it is. It's like, I'm. It's not about a relationship. It's just about a position, right? And then the gospel can also be misunderstood as simply a philosophical idea. It's just a way of understanding life. The gospel is so much more than all of these things. You see, the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. You see, that word, that gospel translated, just simply means good news. If the gospel is just about good morals, where's the good news in that? If the gospel is just about comfort, where is the good news in that? If the gospel is just about a way to understand life, where is the good news in all of that? You see, when it's talking about good news, it's not talking about just good news. It's talking about the best news. It's talking about this is greater than anything else you could ever hear. Think about the greatest message or the greatest news you've ever heard in your life. For those of you who are dads, maybe it's the moment that you found out that your wife was pregnant. Right, for the first time, man, good news, life-changing news, right? Or when you proposed and she said, yes, good news. But all of that is as nothing in comparison to the good news of Jesus Christ. If we can approach the gospel and not be moved by it, maybe we don't see it as the greatest news that we've ever received. If we can approach the gospel and go, okay, yeah, that's nice, that's great. I appreciate that. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know that we fully appreciate the gospel of Jesus Christ, that it is the power of God unto salvation. This is what we need to be focused on. This is what we need to be living out and doing in our lives. And as the Apostle Paul goes through this book, I'm stoked to be studying the book of Galatians because the Apostle Paul just makes it so plain and so clear what the gospel is. And it's all about Jesus. It's all about Christ. If I can approach the gospel and not think about Christ, I'm doing it wrong. If I can approach the gospel and it not make me adore or have more wonder or have more appreciation for or have a deeper sense of love and gratitude for what Christ has done for me and not just for what he has done, but for who he is, I'm thinking about the gospel wrong. This is how important it is. The Apostle Paul, he's just laying it on the line like, hey guys, I am astonished that you could forget, that you could desert him who called you into the grace of God. So, men of valor, let that not be us. Let that not be this church. Let us not let the power of God leave this place because we don't either, either misunderstand the gospel or we take advantage of the gospel or we add to the gospel. Let that not be us. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the gospel. It is the good news. It is the best news. It is the news that all people need. It is the news that we all need constantly. That you, God, creator of heavens and the earth, have loved us who were dead in our sins and trespasses, but you've made us alive together with Christ. God, we thank you for the gospel. We thank you for what you have done. Thank you, Jesus, for being obedient to the point of death and dying for our sake, taking on our sins so that we could be given the righteousness of Christ. And Lord, would we live this out? Would none of us add to the gospel? Jesus, help none of us to take advantage of the gospel and help none of us to misunderstand the gospel, but that we would have a full understanding of what the gospel is and what it has done for us. And Lord, we just want to say thank you one more time for all that you've done and for what you continue to do and for the fact that you're not done with us yet and you're going to see the work that you started in us to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.